We'll begin our study in 2 Samuel, beginning with study of David, or talking about David. And prior to today's lesson, we understand David and his walk, how devoted he was, but David also had a nemesis in his side, and that was old Saul. Because even though Saul, we know, proclaimed maybe to be a Christian, he walked the way he wanted to walk and did the things that he wanted to do. And actually, at times during David's life, tried to kill David to get rid of him. So the lesson kind of brings up to there, Saul and his men are in battle. But it's Saul's day of reckoning, if you want to say, that the Amalekites, and this is on the battlefield of Mount Gilboa, God fulfills Samuel's haunting prophecy against Saul. And it says, in the heat of the battle, Saul watched his men die. They were defeated, even his own son. And we'll get into that a little bit too, because his son Jonathan was one of David's best friends. But in the end, Saul fell on his own sword and killed himself. Now, we could say there was a little heartache and pain. Now, would the world be a better place if we didn't have heartache and pain? If everything was just smooth sailing, nobody got upset with anybody. But if you were David, and throughout your life Saul had been, quote, after you, how would you react upon finding out that he had been killed? Would you be remorse? Would you be joyful that your nemesis is now gone? You won't have to worry about him anymore. But can we say in life that tragedy sometimes help us overcome any bad feelings we have towards someone? Because the chapter, this is not in the scripture verse, but beginning in chapter 1 in 2 Samuel, it talks about after the death, David had returned from his battle. And starting out in verse 2 and 3, it says, the third day a man arrived from Saul's camp, and his clothes were torn and dust on his head. And when he came to David, he fell on the ground to pay him honor. And David wanted to know where he came from, and he had escaped from the Israelite camp. David asked what happened, and he told him the story. And he asked him, how did he know that both Saul and Jonathan were dead? And he said, I happened to be on Mount Gilboa, and there was Saul leaning on his spear with the chariots and riders almost upon him. And he said, when he turned around and saw me, he called out and said, what can I do? And he asked, who are you? And I answered, and he said, stand over me and kill me. I'm in the throes of death, but I'm still alive. And he stood over him and killed him. Now, David, if someone told you a story like that, would you truly believe the words they were telling you? Because David did ask him, he says, why were you not afraid to lift your hand to destroy the Lord's anointed? If you knew Saul was a man of God, why did you kill him? Why didn't you back away? So at that point, David, maybe in his own wisdom, called one of his men to go strike this person down. And he told him, he said, your blood be on your head. Your own mouth testified against you when you said, I killed the Lord's anointed. But now at this point, David, instead of maybe having a little mourning, he possibly did. It was more of a praise out to Saul. The main scripture verses start in verse 22. It says, "From the blood of the slain, from the flesh of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan did not turn back. The sword of Saul did not return unsatisfied." It says, Saul and Jonathan, in life they were loved and gracious, and in death they were not parted. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. Like I said, David didn't just rejoice out and saying, finally, he's dead. He gave praises to Saul and Jonathan. Even, you know, it said they were both loved, they were both gracious. But in death, it wasn't that Jonathan was killed and Saul had to live on without him, or vice versa. They both departed together in life. Do we, like I said sometimes earlier, do we sometimes hold grudges against people for really no apparent reason?
Yes. They're different than us.
Different than us?
They don't look like us. They don't have education. They don't go to church. They have more than you do, and you work as hard as they did. So that's kind of a human, you know, that's
mm-hmm.
a human trait.
Yeah, that comes back to us just being human. Even though we are Christians, we are still, we sin and we have faults. And I guess envy would be one of them.
Perhaps. But...
but it's ironic, though, sometimes, though, when you hold a grudge against somebody and then you hear something about them, they've lost their spouse, they have cancer,
mm-hmm.
their job, then you, you know, if you've had cancer or you've been through a divorce, then you know the pain and how it is. You don't wish that on anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So when things like that happen, I think it's a Christian in your heart that's, now not everybody probably acts that way, because there are people that are probably non-Christians that are gloating because you're in the mess you're in right now, and you deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel as Christians in our heart, I mean, you don't want anybody to have to watch somebody suffer with cancer or, you know, through the job loss or their...
And the Bible tells us not to do that.
Yes. But we do it in the community. It's honest, you know.
But the question comes up, or thought, what do we as believers reveal about our human heart when we speak disrespectfully to our leaders? I mean, you know, we've heard before, the Bible teaches us we're to obey the rules of the government, we're to obey the rules of our leaders, we're to pay our taxes as they're due, on and on and on. But when we do that, but then turn around and talk about someone, are we, quote, speaking with a forked tongue? As
are we looking at it the way that they have an opinion about stuff, so why can't I?
Mm-hmm. But they're your leader.
Well, that's true. But
so, I mean, if you take it all the way, what did Joy say?
They're supposed to be setting examples for us.
Well, that's
if they're not good, then we should
that's true. But do you ever talk about the ultimate leader? Do we ever talk about our God? I mean, you know, like we've talked before, like, not like David here, but when we're down and out, when we're troubled, when we've got problems and we don't see any way out, do we tell God it's His fault?
I've probably done that when I come down with cancer. I never smoked, never drank. Nothing but
how did
I have cancer? But you know, I'm completely healed.
Mm-hmm.
That's the power of
faith. Mm-hmm.
I think we all sometimes say, well, I mean.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But bringing it into the church, how, in what ways should the church celebrate its leaders?
Celebrate
leaders.
For what?
Leaders.
Be there for them when they need.
Be there for them.
Pray for them.
Encourage them.
Mm-hmm.
Encourage them. Everybody likes to be kind of pounded back at you. How much you're appreciated, or you know, how much you enjoy, or how much I got out of this sermon or this lesson.
Would it be wrong if we talked about them?
You know what you said.
Yeah. I mean, we hear a sermon, and the way it was brought to us wasn't exactly the way I wanted to hear it, or I believe it. So I'll go out and tell my friends, boy, you know, my preacher this morning really blew it. You know, he didn't say what I wanted to be said.
Just because it didn't hit us the right way,
it might have hit someone else. Mm-hmm.
Or it was stepping on your toes.
Yeah.
When he,
true.
What he preached that day was, one, what you needed, we needed, and it stepped on our toes, so naturally we're going to be critical instead of saying,
mm-hmm.
I needed, my toes stepped on that day because that was what I needed to hear for the situation going on in my life at that time.
Because in my study, and I'm going to say this lightly, it goes on in verses 25. It says, "How the mighty have fallen in battle. Jonathan lies slain on your heights. I grieve for you, Jonathan, my brother. You were very dear to me. Your love for me was wonderful, more wonderful than that of women. How the mighty have fallen, the weapons of war have perished." How do you take those words where he says he's grieving for Jonathan, his brother? They were very close. But when he says, "Your love for me was wonderful, more wonderful than that of women," the writer of the lesson, and I read it and I kind of put it down and walked away. He's saying that some critics might say that Jonathan and David had a relationship of homosexuality by these words that were said here. Yeah. But what got me is he spent almost two pages of writing on that. And I, because he did have one point right at the end. It says, only somebody with a limited knowledge of ancient culture would leap to that conclusion. They go on, even in olden times, I mean, there were traditions where if a group met, the men would greet each other, they would kiss each other, they would hug each other, the women would do the same thing. That doesn't mean that there's something wrong going on. In today's world, I know I had an uncle who was an Italian, and Susan can tell you, I don't care when you saw him, where you saw him, he was going to greet you, you got a kiss on each side of your cheek. But that was their tradition. There's nothing immoral about that.
The uncle says in here, we realize it's surpassing the love. And we all know, there's all kind of different kind of love. Even in your own family, you love your spouse one way, you love your children one way.
Mm-hmm.
I've always told our children, I love them different because they're different people. You
mm-hmm.
love this one way and this mm-hmm. one, but the love is the same. So it's the same thing, like I think with your friends, I mean, you know, your friends that you don't see a whole lot, you love those friends, but when you do see those friends, you still have that same type of affection. Like you said, you mm-hmm. see somebody, and I mean, through the years, but now, you know, most men, a long time ago, men didn't hug, because, you know, that wasn't real man. Like, that was kind of...
No.
But now, to watch my husband see somebody we know from the past, and they don't mind shake hands, but they'll end up hugging each other, that's a great thing to me. And, I mean, you know, that's a great... That shows that the love between them is really a bond, but it's not a show bond. It's just a true thing, and that's...
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way I think Jonathan and David and Saul were. It was a bond, but it wasn't a wrong bond.
But in Jesus, the physical bond.
That's right. It's not the physical bond. It's just the love between friends.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't Jonathan and David more like brothers?
Yes. I mean, their relationship was more like brothers. Mm-hmm. Than you would someone else. Mm-hmm. Because Jonathan early on went to David one time. Saul had plans to kill him. And he went to David and told him when and where, and he protected him. So, you know, if you go back and think about that, well, I guess that's maybe why Saul had such a disliking for David, maybe because of David and Jonathan's relationship. I don't know.
But.
Yeah.
Who wrote the book of Psalms?
I don't know.
My Bible says it was anonymous. So.
That's a good question. We'll have to look that up. It's anonymous.
Well, there was a difference in how men looked upon that day.
Yes.
Women, you know, before Jesus came, women were Jewish, like animals,
mm-hmm.
written by Samuel.
Mm-hmm. Stayed at home and took care of everything.
But you know, we've all been around parents that want their children to love them the most. They don't want them, you know, as a new mother, you always worried if you took them to the daycare, they might love the daycare person more, you know? So how do you not know that as a parent, he was jealous of that relationship because they loved each other so much, like brothers, was that taken away from his love?
Yeah.
And, I mean, that was kind of an unhealthy thing. I mean, you love your children, but you also have to give them, they need to experience that kind of love with other people.
But... The writer has a point. He says, David celebrated the virtue of the deceased Saul, and he ignored his own faults. And he has a question. Is that a valid thing to do in a funeral? Why or why not? Probably you too, I've never, quote, been to a funeral to where all you heard about the deceased was how bad they were.
Now, you've been to somewhere they've kind of talked around it, but you never that's true.
So is it wrong to bring out any faults of a person once they're gone amongst their friends and family?
Like saying, oh, you act just like your mother did.
It's not nice to talk bad about a dead folks.
That's
right.
Yeah, it come out right, but anyway.
We've heard that all of our lives. It's not good. It's not nice to talk about the dead.
And mother always told me, if you can't say nothing pleasant, be quiet. Don't say nothing at all.
Because chapter 2, it says, in the course of time, David inquired of the Lord, shall I go up to one of the towns of Judah, he asks. And the Lord says, go. And he says, where should I go? He says, to Hebron. It says, and David went up with his two wives, Adoniram and Jezreel, with Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. And David also took the men who were with him, each with his family, and they settled in Hebron and its towns. Then the men of Judah came to Hebron, where they were anointed, where they anointed David king over the house of Judah. David was the next in line to be the king, but I mean, did he just take him upon himself to just go where I want to go and take over what I need to take over? No, he inquired of the Lord, where do I need to go? And the Lord responded, and he went with him. Another interesting tidbit came out that his two wives, the first one, I guess it's Ahinoam, Saul also had a wife by the same name. And there were critics that said David had stolen Saul's wife. But that couldn't be true because David had his wife at this time and Saul had his while he was living. So you can see how people will take something and try to twist it around and make the story not what it should be. In the act of, let's say, a crisis, is it wrong to step up to want to help? Or in other words, is it wrong to step up and want to take charge?
Well, that's what EMTs and paramedics do. They have to react.
Mm-hmm. But are there some people whose motives are different than yours in those times? And is it wrong then to tell them you're wrong? They're trying to help, but you're sensing that they're going about it in the wrong way. So would it be wrong for you to go to that person and say, you know, I think you need to back away without hurting their feelings, so to speak?
If you're helping somebody crisis, you're trying, if your heart's right, then you're trying not only to help them, but kind of protect them and hear them through what they're going through. So you don't need somebody on the other side that their feelings are different, that they're just trying to do it either for show or see what they can get out of it, when yours is really for the person or the situation.
Mm-hmm. Like Thrice said, is it wrong for us to be cynical of what others are trying to do?
That's a.
But in David's life right now, when he had been a now appointed king, could David, and then we'll read these scriptures, but could David had said, go out and bring all of Saul's men to me and then destroy them? I'm now the king. But he didn't do that.
Because don't you think it's hard to change? Because he did ask, he asked of the Lord, what should I do?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's hard to begin to mend and change. Because why, otherwise, I wouldn't have asked anybody. If that's what I wanted to do, I'd have just packed up and gone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he did, and the Lord answered him. He said, go up.
Mm-hmm.
He did what the Lord
told him to do.
By asking, and he did what the Lord asked.
You follow the Lord.
Yes.
Because in verse 5 it says he sent messengers to the men of Jabesh-Gilead to say to them, the Lord bless you for showing this kindness to Saul, your master, by burying him. May the Lord now show you kindness and faithfulness, and I too will show you the same favor because you have done this. Now then, be strong and brave, for Saul your master is dead, and the house of Judah has anointed me king over them. So David didn't go in and just
swoop down and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Push you out, put my people in. He brought Saul's people together and blessed them. it's not a contradiction, but in some cases, some people might. I mean, it's not the same type scenario, but quote, we're now in the midst of elections, electing new officers. So what happens if, let's say, you elect a new governor and they go into office? Do they call the previous staff in that were working for the previous governor and say, don't worry, your jobs are safe, I'm going to keep you all in your same positions?
Mm-mm.
You pretty much know your job's gone. They're going to let you go. So is that right? Wrong?
We like to surround our people, ourselves, with one, people that we trust, people that believe like we do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't want somebody that's like you've been talking about, the cynicism. You don't want somebody around you when you talk about the blessings or something that you've received, and you don't want this person out here telling you, we know you did it on your own. Whereas as a Christian, you know who helped you do what you've done all your life, or the blessings that you've gotten, where they've come from.
If you were one of Saul's member of his army, and someone came to you and said, David wants you to come to visit him, would you go? Would you be fearful to go, thinking?
Someone was afraid that they're going to kill him.
Mm-hmm. You don't know anything about that. Because the question does come out. How do people typically respond when they're facing a major decision?
When you ask the people that you trust around you for advice,
mm-hmm.
You ask people to pray for you.
Do
like that, you know, you ask the Lord, what do you want me to do?
I go to work tomorrow and they call me in and they tell me, we don't need your services anymore. You don't have a job. So do I go home and think, well, that's it. I'm going to lose a house. I'm going to lose a car. My world is over with. My wife's gone. My kids won't love me. I mean, and not picking on Ms. Corley, but if you're told you've got cancer, do you go home and that's it? Mm-hmm. You rely on your faith with God. Because I'm sure we've all had situations like that in our lives. That's because it brings back God is our leader. We have pastors, leaders under Him. But what are some of the ways that we could express our loyalty and kindness to those that do lead us?
Send them cards and pray for them.
Pray for them. Mm-hmm. Or just call them up and say, hey, I've been thinking about you. If there's anything on your mind I could pray with you about. Because you think, the life of a leader, like the life of David, when he's put in that promise, or in that place, is we look back at our pastors, they're the leaders of our church, but a lot of times I think we look to them for leadership, but maybe expect everything from them. How many times do we take the moment just to maybe, like I said, call them, send them a card, come by the church office if they're present and just say, I just want to tell you hello, I'm praying for you, I love you. Would that lift you up?
Yeah. It helps. Just the letters we get from the church.
Mm-hmm.
And I got one this week and it just
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And we've heard through the years, it's lonely at the top. You know, you think you lose that. But like you said, for a pastor, I mean, he carries a church.
Mm-hmm.
he does need that. You think, well, he's got it all together because he's closer to God than probably I'll ever be. But he is, he's human.
Mm-hmm.
He needs a touch to something.
Mm-hmm. Miss Lee?
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
I love this Old Testament.
They're a little hard to get into, but...
We really appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate y'all.
Yes, thank you too, in the church.
Appreciate
you singing in the choir. I enjoy y'all singing in the choir so much. Y'all sound so good.
Just wait.
Y'all sound like a big choir.
That's Chris.
Me.
Y'all don't forget next Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock. Y'all please come back to church for the ordination. I know you won't be.
I hate it so bad because I won't get to be here. I have to look forward to that. I'll be sad.
Chris is a great guy.
Y'all do we could encourage Chris. I don't know why he hadn't done this before now. Anyway, let's stand and have our benediction. She went for a plate or two that her back's going to get better. So she
That's the reason I was standing, because I was afraid I couldn't put any weight on that leg.
The words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.